Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello and welcome. This is the Inside Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Colling. Tonight we are going to be discussing our 20-team mixed fantasy baseball league with some of our owners. We're continuing a podcast that we had just a short time ago, so this may be interesting to some of you, others not at all. Here was our first caller. I forgot the number.
Is this a podcast about the Oscars? I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about Brie Larson and Room and Spotlight winning Oscars. Is that not true?
No, this is it. You're in the right place. Thanks for being here.
Great. Hi, this is Paul.
Paulish. What's up, man? Did you enjoy the Oscars?
How's it going, Phil? I did. Good. Actually, great show. Chris Rock was great tonight, honestly.
Yeah, I thought so. I watched it with my wife, and I thought it was pretty well done. Let's bring in our next caller here. I forget who this was, what number this is, so who's this?
This is Dan.
Dan. All right, all these numbers are all weird.
Across Wisconsin in the house.
I forgot, but you don't live there anymore, do you?
I do, yeah.
Oh, I thought you lived in Chicago. Or do you work from there?
That is correct.
Hey, okay. Hey, Dan, do you have headphones?
No, why?
Oh, okay. Well, because we're hearing a super echo of all our voices.
Oh, I don't hear anything.
Are you still hearing it?
I can't hear
the echo. Must be your phone. Okay, let's bring in our next call. Who's this?
I'm hearing voices again.
This is Nitz.
All right, Nitz is back. I just typed in Nitz into the little studio thing, and it wanted to autocorrect to Nit, just N-I-T. No. So, is N-I-T a word? I know K-N-I-T.
It's like a lice. It's like lice.
Oh. Okay. All right.
That's sad. Well, I'm sorry, dude.
There you have it. There you have it. So we were, what were we talking about? We were just discussing keeper lists. We were discussing the new members of the league. We were discussing, Paul, how sad. Were you good friends with Shell, or were you just acquaintances, or what?
I would not say good friends, but I would say, I've come to a point where I'm probably a longer member in the league than most people, but I'm not like, I mean, the person that's left that is his really, really good friend is Seuss. But he's a guy who I really got to like and respect quite a bit. And we talked a lot in the off seasons, and now and again, when he was having kids, I was having kids at the same time. And, so I got to know him a little bit through that because we're both degenerates in a lot of ways.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, I feel a bit of camaraderie there. So to find out that he's not coming back is actually really
sad.
That's
a bummer.
That
is a bummer. Yeah, that's a bummer. But as we discussed earlier, I'm looking forward to having someone. And it's nothing against him at all. It's, you know, some people don't have time for these kind of things. But I am looking forward to getting.
And I'll tell you right now, like, he's a person in the league who I had a connection with. So if I sent him a message, I would get a message, you know, back right away. Usually it would be, you know, fuck you, go away. I mean, just being honest, it really was. But, you know, he was somebody who the people he knew in the league from going back, and I was probably a fringe person even in that respect. He's somebody I think we really held dear. So I feel bad that he's doesn't have the time anymore. Just saying that, you know. And I get that it's better for the league to have people who have more time. But to me, it's still sad.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's talk a little bit about. Where are you guys at as far as Dan? So let's say these trades, you know, I for some reason, just knowing Buzz, I feel like he's going to I feel like he's going to pay, but it is going to be like right at the last second. He's just going to be like a douche about it. But let's say he pays, you know, he pays and then, you know.
Can he actually pay in McDonald's gift certificates? Is that legal?
Well, if he has any of those, I'm pretty sure he used them. So I don't know.
That's a fair point.
I don't know if that's going to be a good thing for him to pay with.
Sure.
I'll say that goes through. Do you feel like your list is done, Dan? I mean, I guess the second trade you said might not even do anything to your list, but do you feel like, you know, now that spring training is just getting underway, do you feel like you have some more moves that you want to make, or
no,
do you feel
really,
pretty
no,
good with
no.
where you're at?
Yeah, unless someone approaches me about something, I think I'm probably done.
Yeah.
Well, so what I have to ask, I mean, how much crappier can your list get, Dan? Like, you really can't divest good talent into terrible talent much more.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Correct. So what is the eight then?
As it sits today, it would probably be K-Rod at 11, Puig at 16, Pilar at 6, Odor at 11, Byung-Ho Park at 6, either Carter Capps or A.J. Ramos at 6, Mark Teixeira at 14, and Ben Paulson at 6. I think that would be it today.
Okay.
So that's I don't even know what the – let's see what the total is on that. 27, 41, 47, 3 – I think it'd be $76.
$76. Yeah, that's good. I mean, you're in the 70s. I think that's usually pretty good. I'm at 78, unless I keep Encarnacion, and then I'm at 102. But it's nice. It's always nice to have that money, just for the sole fact that it gives you some breathing room. You know what I mean? Like,
can I be honest? Like. Honestly, I think right now there's a lot of people that have money, and we're going to be bidding on, I think at some point, Steve Soucy for our catchers and first basemen, and it's going to be ridiculous. Like, having money in this draft right now, the way it is, there's just not a lot of talent to draft on.
Yeah.
Like, getting breathing room for salary, like, what – Dan, like, let me ask Dan this, because this is what I'm curious about. Like, getting you some salary flexibility, what do you actually think that does for your roster? Like, legitimately so. Like, I mean, your roster's a dumpster fire, so I understand that's a bit of a loaded question. But, like, what do you actually think getting you more breathing room accomplishes for you?
I wouldn't really say my moves have been about trying to just necessarily dump salary. I mean, it's been pretty much every move I make is trying to get as much plus value as I can from each guy. And if I can get cheaper in the process, then that's just even better. So,
Dan, where did you go to school? In high school and like grade school, I'm talking about. Were you a Wisconsin kid?
Yeah, I took a lot of the special needs classes and that kind of thing.
Okay, good. So. All right, no, I just wanted to make sure I should keep my kids out of Wisconsin schools. Is all. That's all I was trying to figure out.
Okay.
No.
Pretty good.
Hey, Dan, you seriously, you leaned into that. Well done. That was great.
Nitz. We were talking a little bit earlier about your list a little bit. So you have Sano, Kluber, Kershaw. You know, you got some guys you have to keep. I didn't catch the tail end of who, like, your 6, 7, and 8 guys were. Do you know that yet, or do you still feel like you have some moves you would like to make?
All right, so my lot keepers, I got to keep Howie Kendrick, Kershaw, and Derek Norris. The other keepers are going to be Boxberger, Storen, and then the last three, Kluber.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just scrolling through by. Uber Sano, and then spot 8 is up for grabs.
But can I be honest? See, I like where he is. I like where Nitz is. I think Nitz has good players. They may not be at a salary that everybody's super wild about, but there's not going to be that much that's good to fight over. So you may as well have players that are expensive, but at a value that they'd probably go for less than in the draft. Like, if we were being honest right now, giving all the salary that's available to draft in the draft, would Kershaw go for less than 50?
Man, he goes for at least 40.
Yeah, well, I say it.
Jesus Christ, yeah, he goes for 40. I mean, he goes for 45, let's be honest.
Probably.
Yeah. I can't envision a scenario, given what pitchers are available, where he goes. I think it's 46, 47, 48. And if you're keeping him for what you're keeping him for, Nitz, I think that's perfectly fine, even at mandated.
Right.
I like your list. I do. Even given mandatory keepers, I like your list.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it. My eighth keeper, it'll be A.J. Reed if he wins the Houston first base job.
No, that sucks. Never mind. Your list sucks. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Which, I don't know.
No, I mean, that's fine. I think A.J. Reed would be a guy to hold on to as your eighth guy. I mean, he's a flyer anyway. Because I don't think I'm crazy. I think they want to give Singleton every chance to win that job.
Yeah. Agree.
Well, John Singleton just blows. So,
he's terrible, and he's going to hit 170 for 2 months. But I think that's where AJ Reed still comes in. He's going to be somebody who has value at some point this season.
Yeah, I agree. I could end up keeping him. I got Josh Reddick at 16. I mean, he wouldn't be terrible to keep either. Who knows?
Boy, I still might keep it. I might keep AJ Reed over him and just store him on my bench, honestly. Seriously.
Yeah. And then Gattis is banked up too, so.
No, that's true, too. I like that.
First base DH spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if Reed, isn't held back because of, business reasons. You never know. I mean, you could keep him, and he could be. I mean, he just crushed the ball last year. I mean, he's got a chance at doing something for sure.
Man, if he forces his way in spring training and comes up day one, I mean, he's an underrated 30 home run guy. Honestly, he's got that kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's fun too.
Oh, yeah, and that Park, doesn't have to be that good to do it.
Yeah, it's a crackerjack. Yeah, it's tiny. What do you guys – hang on a second. Let me make sure there's not another caller here. Okay. What do you guys think – okay, I think just in general, I don't know if you guys have done this, but Seuss had mentioned this podcast and podcast ago about how it's a good exercise to look and see what the probable keepers are at and what positions are available. We've already talked in depth about how closers are just not here. They're just gone. And so that's fine. But do you guys feel strongly about a certain position that you think is going to be really hard to find just value or find just a breathing body in the draft? We talked about third base a little bit, but do you guys feel like tell me like the one position you might be the most worried about just as far as like getting a guy, and then maybe the one position that you're just completely not worried about.
Third base.
Yeah.
I'm keeping two third basemen. This is Paul. And I'm keeping two third basemen precisely for that reason. It's a dumpster fire. Like, if I throw Kyle Seager back into the draft at 21, he's the best third baseman available.
Yeah, I think that's why Jimmy's keeping Carpenter. That's kind of what he explained to me, and I actually do think that does make some sense. I'm not particularly a huge fan of Carpenter as a fantasy player. For some reason, I think in real life he's much better than he is fantasy. But I think just in general, I think third base, just given what's left, I mean, it might be smart to maybe do something like that. That's possible.
I was talking to Jimmy about Adrian Beltre. I was like, he's going to go for 45 just because he's so far above and beyond the best third baseman available. Like, the step down from Adrian Beltre is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It goes from, like, top five to, like, 18th or 19th on the list.
Yeah, it's not good. That's why I made everything I could to make sure I at least had a third baseman. I think Matt Duffy is at $6 is solid. I mean, I'm hoping for 285 and above, and maybe double digit.
No, you're fine. You don't have to hope for anything at $6.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not being sarcastic there, Phil. Like, Matt Duffy is a definite keep. Simply if he could regress. And at $6, given what's available, you may as well keep him.
Yeah.
That's how bad third base is.
Yeah. What about, I talked a little bit about this earlier, but, like, outfield is always, like, a big thing. And I saw that if the keepers are what I think they're going to be, Ryan Braun is going to be the best available outfielder. And he's on just a god-awful team. And he's coming off of, like, back surgery.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up, Dan. Nope. You don't get to input here. Sorry. Because I think they may bench him.
Oh, they may bench him.
No, just a tank, dude. It wouldn't be a stupid move.
It would be in the sense that every single fan would never come to a game ever again, even if they are good in a couple of years. It's just
until they start winning games again.
Yeah.
Not for like 2 years. Anyway, no, look, you're right on outfield. Outfield's never deep enough though, Phil. My thought on that is that once you get past Ryan Braun, which I actually agree, I kind of dig him this year. I think that so many guys are so the same that it's like weird bad depth. Does that make sense? It's sort of the same as shortstop.
Like, man, I never do well at shortstop. I never get a guy like at shortstop.
So that's my point. It's kind of like I'm not keeping Correa. I'm not keeping Tulo. So who do I care who my shortstop is? It's like I'll just find somebody for the cheapest I can.
Dan,
I sort of feel the same way about outfield right now. Yeah, Wilmer.
I had Wilmer for the first half. I think I traded him to you.
Is his leg okay?
I don't remember. I don't think he's even going to start, though.
Again?
Cool.
Like, I think he's going to be okay someday.
Wilmer Flores?
Yeah.
He's not even the one who got hurt.
No,
he is. Yeah, he is in the playoffs.
That was Tejada.
Oh.
That was Ruben Tejada.
Yeah.
It was?
Yes.
No,
either way.
I think then – no, what happened is I think the bone flew out of Ruben Tejada's leg and stabbed Wilmer in the neck. Did that not happen? That happened on my TV.
You had a little too many Oscar party drinking games.
No, I was watching Cubs baseball. You have no concept of how drunk I was in October. Like, oh, my God. Oh. I vaguely remember October. Like, it was a month that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. See, and Phil, like, you're chuckling. It's hard for me because my wife and all of her family are Cardinal fans, And, you know, because she's a wonderful woman, I don't step in when she influences my kids to be Cardinal fans, and they could not be bigger Matt Carpenter fans than they are, and Yadi Molina fans than they are.
Is that why they don't talk to you? You said
I
one
know.
Time
I that's why I don't talk to
I
them.
I think one of my sons hates me.
I don't talk to them. Like, they try to talk to me, and I'm like, are you a Cub fan today? And they say no.
Yeah.
And
that's
just say, you know, move along. Move along.
Don't talk to you. Yeah, no eye contact.
Yeah.
Don't talk to your kids. All right, let's bring in our next caller here. Who do we got?
Yeah, what's up, fellas?
Susie.
Hey,
you know, Susie,
there's somebody who's a couple hundred dollars richer tonight. Holla at your boy.
Susie.
No, seriously, come on. Hey, this man, look, nobody listening to this cares, but this man knows movies, and he won a couple hundred dollars tonight. Give him some props.
Props given where props are due. Hey, Susie, I have a random question for you. Has anyone ever pronounced your last name Suchi?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because
there have been variants all over the board. That's one of them.
Because Rago, for like the first several years, and maybe even to this day, he still says Suchi. Or he'll say Seuss, as in like sort for Susie, but then he'll be like, yeah, well, Suchi's got, you know, so-and-so. And I'm like, you just said Seuss with no ch sound, but I don't know why I just thought of that. I was just wondering if people still
No, that's Suchi. True. I've heard him do that. Like, he's very guilty of that.
I've never actually noticed it, which shows how accommodating I am to the butchering of my last name.
And you're not accommodating to very much, really.
No, I'm an asshole. It is what it is, bro.
what were we just talking about? Suits. So
Dan sucks. That's what we were talking about. Dan sucks.
Dan's a man. I want to know, is Closer Town still open for business?
Sort of. I think at some point within the next week or two, I'm going to put out an exciting little graph of my own here, indicating the number of closers that are gone and see if I can elicit some interest in maybe someone taking a longer look at my extra closer at this situation right now. Because I have three. I don't really want to go into the season keeping three. I will if I have to. Ideally, I would like to take one of my lesser offensive pieces, one of those closers, and send them away for something that I like better. But that may be a hard sell.
Ben Paul,
I mean,
can I mention part of a trade that we made earlier?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, I won't then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, but that's it's a weird situation because they're not the closers that I have to offer are not very attractive, and I know that. But
oh man, JJ Hoover, Brad Ziegler, come on.
They're closers.
I heard a stat about JJ Hoover today. He had 7 save opportunities last year and he blew 6 of them.
He really did. By the way, as somebody, can I talk about that?
Is that good?
Because J.J. Hoover was on my roster. 3 of those save opportunities were 3-inning varieties. So in case you were wondering if he could throw a 3-inning save, he can't. But
oh,
the rest of the time,
though.
No, bad. So bad. He was 1 of 4 in 1-inning save opportunities last year, for the record.
But Phil and I were talking about this earlier today. I mean, there's going to be how many teams in the league right now have 2 closers locked in? 10? 11?
Yeah.
Well, but come on, though. See, I feel like that's a false logic point. There's 20 teams in the league. every team can't have two closers. They just can't.
Well, I understand
there's
that.
There's no way.
But you also, you can't have zero, and having one puts you in no man's land. So, yeah, you can compete. You can maybe get up to 6 or 7 points with one closer. But if you have none and there's nothing available, there's no supply in the draft, are you punting from day one?
Dude, mm-hmm. like 4 or 5 teams every year punt from day one in saves.
And those,
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't think they punt. I think they just end
last
up
last year, that's absolutely true.
That's
and people may have acquired people, but it's 100% true. Four teams went into the draft, or after the draft, I'm sorry, without a closer. Four of them.
Yeah,
but
he
may
well,
have traded later on.
And I was,
or acquired,
I was
like,
walked,
down the road, but still.
I was one that walked out with one, but immediately went into trade mode. So it's something that you have to deal with if you're serious about competing.
Yeah.
You can't walk out of the draft and say, up yours to saves. I mean, you can't do that.
Here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at last year, and
I think
there was
Phil, can I interrupt though? I have a direct response to that.
All right.
It's the nature of the 20-team league. You actually can.
Wow.
But the fact that we have 20 teams dictates you can't. Does that make sense? Like,
no.
The way
not,
this league
not
used
really.
To be, you could punt saves. No. The way this league used to be, you could punt saves.
Didn't Jimmy used to do that every year? And then
constantly.
Once again,
I think I recall
he did it two
that.
Years in a row. And I don't
yeah.
think he won either of those years, but he was very close to the money both years.
Well, if you look
if
at
your
last
game
year,
is getting really close to the money, then I guess that's the way to go.
But anymore, the point totals have been so high in actually winning the league that it makes taking a 2 or 3 point category almost impossible for you to win.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, my counter to that is though, with the trade restrictions the way they are, does it behoove you to spend your money other places and find a closer after the draft?
Does it J.J. behoove
you
to do that?
You still
does it J.J. Hoover you? Did you really just do that? Jesus Christ.
Go ahead. But whatever may happen,
dirty.
You still have to deal with it.
Right.
You still have
so
to
you spend your money on prospects to send. That's my point.
But you still have to use an asset to get those players and trade after the fact. It's not like you're getting them for free unless you get extremely lucky on eighth inning guys. I mean, that's...
So, I mean, like, if I'm in last year's situation, do I spend money on Henry Mejia thinking he's going to grab that job and hold it? Oh, suspended for steroids. Oh, now he's kicked out of the league. Or do I wait to see how things play out and trade a prospect for a closer and maybe something else even later on? I'm just saying,
but you,
it's not
you've been in the league,
to go
you've
into
been
the draft without
in the,
anybody.
You've been in the league long enough to recognize, at least that I can say this, and you at least have to accept this as fact, whether or not you agree with it or not, the supply is not going to be there this year.
No, it's not. And I, quite
it's,
frankly,
it's nowhere near,
I still,
it's nowhere near.
I'm on record saying I still might keep Craig Kimbrell at 35. It's stupid, but I still might do it.
Well, the supply is so horrible. I mean, it's ridiculous. So,
well, whatever
I
you
mean,
do, just start the bidding at 35. Just really outdo yourself from last year.
No, it'll be 40. If I put him back in the draft, it'll be 40.
Okay.
I mean, let's not be.
That's how you win championships right there.
That's right.
Paul so sober.
Nope.
And by sober, I mean the opposite. Now, I want to point out a stat from last year's categories. So last year, let's say you have one closer for the whole season. You only get one closer who gets you 35, 38 saves.
35,
you
35
have,
would be my number. Phil, go 35. 35,
okay,
I think 35, is good.
Okay, you will have 5 points. And
wow, really?
That's it.
Really?
You're only going to have five if you do that. Now, if you have two closers.
I'm in Seuss's camp now.
You're only going to have 5 points, and it's really more closer to four than it is five. So you are basically just – if you just say F off the closers, I mean, two closers, literally just two closers who get you 35 saves, you're right in the top. You know, you got a chance to be in the top
what is,
five.
Wait. 35 gets you 4 or 5 points. What does 70 get you, though?
70 gets you 15.
Holy shit.
So literally one closer can give you 10 or 11 points. I think that's worth it for one player. One player can get you 11 points. I say absolutely do that.
All right. Hey, Seuss, I'll give you a Charles Blackman for J.J. Hoover. Let's go. I'm kidding.
Seuss, I am basically...
No, but I think that's a valid argument. That's a really good point. And this is sort of why when... Can I be honest, though, about one thing? This is why when Kimbrel, when I said Kimbrel 30, that's why I did it. There weren't a lot of top option closers, and I think closers should be more valuable than they are.
Yeah, it might go back to that, because it used to be that way, as I recall people telling me, so...
Yeah, I mean, the dynamic has changed because it used to be that 10 years ago, if you wanted an elite closer in the draft, you said 40, and nobody else in the room even blinked at that.
Yep.
That just happened. It was just that everybody was like, okay, you got your closer, congratulations. Mariano Rivera, $40. That was a regular occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, and honestly, 10 years ago, I say – Craig Kimbrel 30, I have a 31 before I get 30 out of my mouth.
Yeah, agreed. No, I don't have any issue with that. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think the dynamic has changed even more this year. I think last year the pool was bad. This year the pool is like you're swimming in shark infested waters if you're going to go into the draft and say I want an available closer in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are they garbage, mostly garbage, there's just so few.
So we've done this exercise before, but by the way, if anyone is listening to this who has one or zero closers, this is fantastic material to making a deal with someone who has three like Susie, but I'm looking, so go down the line. Ziegler is, well, I'd say the Braves. No one has the Braves. I mean, I don't think Vescaino is going to close, right? Or I think Grilled Cheese is closing.
No, but not right away because he's not going to be available at day one. That's the biggest problem.
That situation is super murky at best because you don't know who it's going to be or, you know, whatever. So.
On the flip side, can I tell you? Because I bit him up. Javi Guerra went for seven last year, just having April as a closer situation in Los Angeles last year.
Well, and in the National League East, you've got Atlanta's situation and Philadelphia. Those are the two that will be available.
Who the fuck knows?
It's probably David Hernandez. He's not on a roster, so that's and whoever else it could be, they're also not on a roster.
But think about this. You're talking about the Braves and the Phillies, who might each win less than 70 games, and think about how many of those are going to be closed.
Most underrated thing of bad teams: they close more games. They do. Mm-hmm. Because all of their games are close.
Well, I would also argue that teams who win 100 games have more opportunities for saves.
They don't. That's the thing. And trust me, this is somebody who made a living off Mike Loisel closing.
Oh, it's not as wide a gap as I think you think it is, Phil. I mean, there are people that have done
really
studies
not.
On this. The Yankees, like, for example, in the Yankees in their heyday, they'd have so many blowout wins that
Yep. The difference between the same opportunities for an 80-win team that keeps squeezing out 4-2 wins and the Yankees, who 2 out of 3 games are winning by 7 runs, the difference is nominal. That's why when you look at league leader saves at the end of the year, so long as a guy keeps the job, we're talking about 40 saves for this guy and 35 for another. I mean, it's just – it's not that much.
Mike fucking Loisel has 2 40 save seasons for the Pirates. Mike Loisel.
I think a lot of it is also
dumpster fire.
I think it's a lot of luck too. I mean, it is just kind of like
it's not,
I mean, you get
luck. That is the way it is every damn year, Phil. If you want to chalk it up to that, bid that way. But it is not luck.
Well, what I'm saying
is that is a logic fallacy. If you want to make an argument, bad teams are more likely to have more saves than good teams. I'll wager that every day up until Sunday, every single day.
I would, I would.
Well, Philadelphia last year had the worst record, and they were 29th in save opportunities.
Okay. Versus who?
Oh, boy. I mean,
one
Cleveland
closer. And there's your other thing. There's your other thing. It's also, you got to find one closer. They dealt Ken Giles and Jonathan Papelbon. Okay.
Well, it's not saved.
Ken Giles was after the season. But still, but they dealt their closer mid-season. You have to find somebody who has a closer who isn't good enough to deal, like David fucking Hernandez, who could rack up 40 saves.
Who was behind the Phillies?
It was Ken Giles.
The Indians.
No, I'm talking what team?
The Indians.
Who had less save opportunities than the Phillies?
The Indians.
Okay. Just curious. I mean,
Cody,
I think
Cody
both
Allen
sides of that argument are cherry picking. That's all.
I can barely hear you for some reason.
He's getting cheese out of the fridge.
Well, anyway, I certainly don't care to dig my heels into that argument, because I don't care that much. I have two closers and they're good ones, and I don't really care. But
well, they're
think,
okay.
Oh, okay. I guess two guys who might strike out 100 is just okay. I think their prices could be cheaper. That'd be better. But I certainly like my.
Who do you have, Phil?
I have Giles and Robertson.
You have Robertson and who?
Giles,
yeah, sure. But hey, like everybody in the league says, he may not be the closer. He's been traded so much.
Oh gosh, who's that? Giles?
Luke Gregerson in waiting.
Oh god, I face Gregerson. He's a chump.
He can't wait to save 30 games and literally bend you over a table. He can't. I'm so excited.
If that did happen, it's not going to. They're not going to trade 5 prospects for a closer when that's like their number one goal in the offseason. But if for some reason he got hurt or
you,
that ended up happening.
Phil, can I tell you what's funny about that?
What's that?
You know what's funny about that? I don't know if you're talking about real life or the bake. Like, I really don't. Like, I have no idea.
What do you mean?
Well, because, like, 5 prospects were traded for Gregerson, and in real life, 5 prospects were traded for Giles. It's a real good contest. I kind of dig it.
All right. All right.
I'm saying the Gregerson trade in our league was stupid. Hi, Dan. How you doing?
I'm good.
I made a stupid trade. Stupid.
Paul,
stupid?
Has there been a trade that you has not thought was stupid this offseason?
Yeah, several, actually.
Okay. I don't believe you.
Seuss, there was one that we went to a broadcast at that I actually said, wow, that was good for both sides, but I don't remember what it was. Who the fuck did it involve?
That's okay.
You see, it's so rare. I don't even remember. It's
Don't worry about it, buddy. Yeah.
I will tell you this: Dan has not made a good trade this entire winter, nor has Newzak. Neither of you have. None. Done. Gone.
Hey, you know what?
And if you want Dan, if you want to debate it right then, let's go. Let's go, Dan. If you want to debate it right now. What did you do that was good?
I don't know if it's really worth my time trying
to. Yeah, that's right. Your players aren't worth debating. It's not. Congrats, you have dollars on draft day.
Thanks.
It's like a $50 Ryan Braun bid waiting to happen. Congratulations!
I appreciate that.
You can keep him at 55 next year.
The way you just said congratulations sounded like a pop-up ad, like on the internet, that says I just won something.
Phil, I actually laughed just so hard right now. I had to pull the phone away. Oh, Jesus.
You sound like a crazy person.
That was really good.
Well, maybe we should wrap this up before Paul goes crazy on the air. Like, he's going to have a breakdown here on the air. He's so sober. On a scale of one to sober, what are you right now?
What was that?
Okay, that's what I thought.
No, I didn't even hear you. I had the phone away from my ear, sorry.
It's okay. I was just asking how sober you were.
1 to 10, 5.
Okay, so not normal. Well,
mostly.
So we talked about the closers. That situation is going to be a problem for certain people for sure. I think Newzak having zero is going to be a problem. I still like his list. I just think anyone who has zero is in big trouble. And then, you know, third base is kind of the same thing. But you could say the same thing about – I feel like there's – Seuss, I mean, based off what you have looked at, what position do you feel like is the deepest right now?
Boy, I think the most quality for, like, what people actually need – is in the middle infield.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of the other groupings have been hit pretty hard with potential keepers. I think that, like, outfield looks a little thin to me. A lot of the elite starting pitching is being kept. Obviously, we've already talked about closers. Third base, I think, is troubled.
Yeah.
I think there's some value available at first base, but I think overall, with the number of positions that are available and the number of guys that are kept, I would say middle infield. I mean, that's where I think the most value is still on the board.
Am I wrong in thinking that first base's value actually gets hurt? Because I actually think there is value at first base. But that value gets hurt by the number of third basemen that are being kept.
I think you can I think
people are going to compete for their corner infield position so they don't have two third basemen.
That's the way that it almost always goes anyway, though.
Yeah, and I think that's fair.
I think so that
but,
when you
like,
look at it.
Do I think it's worse this year? Am I wrong in thinking that?
The depth at first base?
No. That I think that it's going to – like there's going to be even more of an overcompensation for third base by the first base corner compensation, I think is what I'm saying.
I think it's possible. I just –